Okay, we're in Matthew 24, and we've gotten to verse 23. maybe I should cover just a little bit to get the background again. Matthew 24, he said in verse 15, "Then when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." And we explained how the Christians went to Pella in 69 A.D., and then Vespasian was called back, and Titus came back the next year and leveled the city. "Let him who's on the housetop not go down to take anything out of it. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved," and he means alive. That's how Moffat translated. Life would be end on earth. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And we talked about how God spares the earth for the elect's sake. Now in verse 23, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the desert,' do not go out. Or 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Okay, verse 23 to 25, he warns of multiple false teachers and even false Christs. "And they will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Demons can pull off kind of miracles. They can produce great signs and wonders. They can levitate things, make it hover. They can bend spoons. they can have idols weep. And sometimes they're very scary things. But all their miracles do not benefit mankind. When God does something, it's beneficial. When Satan does, it's entertainment or just attention gathering. But God actually does things that really are a blessing. Some, by the way, see this verse as saying that it's impossible to deceive the elect. That's not how we understand it. And the Greek suggests that deceivers will attempt to deceive the elect if possible. That is, if they can. This view is supported by Jesus' next statement, "See, I have told you beforehand." It's a very sobering thing. He's explained it. "See, I have told you beforehand." It's going to be very deceptive. The changes we've had, remember the changes were introduced and people took a long time to figure out where that was and had they study and had to go back. Well, I have a feeling that the future ones are going to be even more subtle and more deceitful. It's just the way Satan works. It's going to be more troublesome, and we will really need to stay close to God to be able to not be deceived. Verse 26, "Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the desert,' do not go out. Or 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it." The return of Jesus Christ to the earth will not be done secretly, as we see in verse 27. "For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Lightning flashing. The expanded Vine's expository dictionary of the New Testament says that the Greek means bright shining. Now, that's normally lightning. But when the sun comes up in the east, the light travels all the way across the horizon to as far as you can go. When the sun is up where you are, it's daylight. It's very clear. But lightning also lightens up the whole sky. But the point is, his return will be clearly visible. It's going to be like daylight or lightning all over the earth. It'll be clearly visible to everybody, the elect and the non-elect. Expositor's Bible commentary says, "The coming of the Son of Man..." as a comment there, will be public, unquestionable, and not confined to some little group of initiates. As lightning, and he has various psalms that refer to this, comes out of the east, but everywhere is visible, as away from the west, as far away as the west, so the coming of the Son of Man will be visible to all people everywhere. And I think that's exactly what it's going to be. He's going to announce, and you'll see as we go further, he's going to make it clear that he's coming, and he's coming to rule. And then verse 28, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. The expositors, and the commentaries have a little trouble with us when the expositor said, here Jesus quotes a proverb, and it's mentioned in Luke 39:30, and in Luke 17:37. Eagle, that's the verse in the King James, is wrong. Vulture, which is the NIV, is correct. Aetos, A-E-T-O-S, can mean eagle, kite, or vulture. But eagles are not normally carrion eaters. You know what carrion is? It's not good. The proverb itself is a difficult one. And then they go on and they start trying to figure out what it might be. The proverb itself is a difficult one. Well, after examining a number of possible meanings, expositors, a very long commentary on this, or this enigmatic proverb may simply mean that it will be impossible for humanity not to see the coming of the Son of Man, as it is for vultures to miss seeing carrion. Vultures are usually 100%. Something's down there, they'll find it, and they'll clean it up for you. So in the same way that it's coming, there's that analogy. Now, whether that's the correct one, another way to look at it is when Titus destroyed Jerusalem, he could be viewed as a vulture descending to devour the spiritually dead. And God allowed him to do that, to carry him off the land and to destroy. So wherever the carcass is, there the vultures will be gathered together, and they'll be ready to go to do their job. and it seems like it refers more to Titus coming down to destroy. Continuing, Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now notice the timing here. This is one of these verses that helps us to understand prophecy and how it ties together. Maybe I should explain this again. I've explained it in the past, but you take the Old Testament and you try to figure out prophecy, and it says, this is going to happen. And then something else is going to happen. And they tell you what's going to happen, but from the Old Testament alone, it is very difficult to put the pieces together in order. The New Testament, especially the book of Revelation, there is a step-by-step progression of this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen. And it makes then you plug in the Old Testament scriptures to the New Testament chronology, and then you get the whole picture. And that's the same way with the book of Daniel. Daniel focuses on the events in chronological order of the past and very little on the future. A great deal about the four empires. We're past the four empires. And he has very little about, just a little bit about the last one where he describes it. The book of Revelation has very little about the old ones and a great deal about the new ones. Much more detail there. So with the two, the elect can put these pieces of the puzzle together, which we're striving to do here in Matthew 24. I just want to point out this verse. It was one we memorized when I was in Ambassador College. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Everybody's going to see that. And the tribes of the earth will mourn. We know this is the sixth seal of the book of Revelation, the heavenly signs. If you care to go to Revelation chapter 6 And verse 12, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. Revelation 6:12. I looked when he opened. Remember, the Lamb is the one who is the only one qualified to open these seals and to unlock them. And I looked when he, that would be the Lamb, opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. I can't imagine that. Because often they're a lot bigger than, some of them are bigger than the earth. So how that's going to work out, we'll just have to wait and see. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken with a mighty wind. Then the sky receded. How does the sky recede? As a scroll when it's rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. There was a shaking that moved it. Now, verse 29, he said, the heavenly signs follow the great tribulation. So we have the great tribulation, and then God begins to step in with the heavenly signs. If you care to, these will be truly gripping, attention-grabbing events. I mean, nobody's going to miss it. If you look at, I'll just read Joel 2:30-31. If you, rather than having you flip back and forth, Joel 2:30-31, and I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, same thing,